Hello, I'm Dr. Jonathan Barker, pastor here at Amazing Grace Baptist Church in Mount Airy, North Carolina. I would like to personally thank you for taking out time today to tune in to our preaching podcast. We hope that this message will be a great encouragement to your heart today.
In honor and reverence to the reading of God's Word, I read a few verses to you today. I hope you'll pray for us as we preach, that the Lord would help us and He would be magnified. Matthew chapter number 28, the Bible said in verse number 1, "In the end of the Sabbath, as it began to dawn toward the first day of the week, came Mary Magdalene and the other Mary to see the sepulchre. And behold, there was a great earthquake. For the angel of the Lord descended from heaven and came and rolled back the stone from the door and sat upon it. His countenance was like lightning and his raiment white as snow. And for fear of him, that the keepers did shake and became as dead men. And the angel answered and said unto the women, Fear not ye, for I know that you seek Jesus, which was crucified." Boy, this is important right here. "He is not here, for he is risen, as he said. Come see the place where the Lord lay." Can I just say this to you this morning? That verse right there is what separates us from every other religion that there is today. You see, many other religions have a quote-unquote God. Many other religions have somebody that they said gave up their life for them. But we are the only one today that can say that we have a Savior that not only came, that not only died, but thank God, one third in glorious morning, rose victorious over death, hell, and the grave. Now, I want to preach on this thought with the help of the Lord for just a little while today. Some things that happened after the resurrection. Father, I love you today. God, I pray over the next few minutes, God, that you'd help us today. You know the need of the service, and I pray that thy divine will would be done. I pray, God, if there's anybody here today lost, Lord, that you'd save them today, bring them back close to you, and we'll give you the praise in Jesus' name. Amen and amen. You can be seated today. As we celebrate Easter Sunday, we do celebrate the resurrection of the Lord Jesus Christ. I'll say a lot more about that in just a minute. But by way of introduction, I believe that we need to be reminded that it is just not the resurrection when we come to Easter. You see, there is so much more to it than just the resurrection. As you study your Bible and you that knows the Word of God and you that even knows history, if you don't know the Word of God, knows that Jesus was crucified on an old rugged cross on a hill far away. But it's even more than that. Can we take a minute and visit the garden at Gethsemane as Jesus is praying before his crucifixion? We find him there that night praying until his sweat becomes come as great drops of blood. What is he praying for? I can say it this way. I believe that he's praying for you and that he's praying for me. And he's praying that God's will be accomplished. He leaves from Gethsemane praying and he goes on to Golgotha, not to Golgotha, but he goes to Gabbath, and it's there that he's going to be tried. He's going to come before we can say it this way. He's going to come before a judge, and they're going to try him that day, and they're going to try to find him guilty of something. Matter of fact, they said, "We can release one to you. Will it be Barabbas or will it be Jesus?" We know this according to the Bible. Barabbas was a notable prisoner. In other words, he deserved what was coming his way. And they cried out, "Crucify Jesus, release unto us Barabbas." So that's what they did that day. As we go from there, we know that he is beaten with a cat of nine tails. Matter of fact, let me just slow down a minute. If you'll go read Psalms 22. Read Psalms 22 when you get home. The Bible said this, that his bones stared at him. His bowels gushed from within. It wasn't just some ordinary beating, man. I'm telling you, I believe that they tried their best to kill him on the scourging block that day. But here was the secret. They could not kill him. They tried, I believe that in all of my heart, but they couldn't. He goes beyond that. He's beat with a cat of nine tails. There's a crown of thorns placed upon his head. His beard is plucked from him. He is smitten that day. They take a reed and smite him over the head. But in all of that, the only thing that they could ever find him guilty of was loving you and loving me. That's all they could find him guilty of. So whenever we come to 3 days later, we must understand there's a lot leading up to the resurrection. Whenever you begin to think about him on Calvary that day, I'm not going to read it to you. If you'd like to read it, I've got an article that a doctor wrote on the crucifixion and all they went through on the crucifixion that day. And whenever you begin to think about that, you begin to think about the intense pain. You begin to think about him gasping for breath. I want to say this to you. He was humanity. You say, preacher, what do you mean by that? He felt everything that we feel. Everything that we've went through, he knew what it was. So it was a feeling that day. Yes, he was deity. He was God incarnated into man. And we're fixing to see that in the resurrection. But that day, boy, he felt every bit of it. And he finally ends up giving up the ghost and dying. And can I say this to you again? They could not kill him. They could not kill him. Let me tell you the reason why. Because he was life itself. He was the God-man. But he willingly gave up his life and cried out, "It is finished." He never said, "I am finished." Let me tell you the reason why. Because he was just getting started. Amen. Oh, we may think that the purpose of Jesus coming was to heal the sick and to make the lame to walk and the blind to see and the deaf to hear. That was not the purpose of Jesus coming. Hear me and hear me well. Calvary was the reason Jesus came. An old rugged cross was the reason he came. He was born for one purpose: to die. The reason he was born. And that day, he never said, "I'm finished." He said, "It is finished." Amen. The work of him dying on the cross was finished. Oh, but that was not the end. Let's fast forward 3 days now to a Sunday morning, if we want to say it that way. As we begin to think about that, no doubt for 3 days they've danced around in hell. They're having a time. The devil and his angels are rejoicing. This is what they've been shooting for. This is what they've wanted, is to kill Jesus Christ. And for a little while, they think that it's all going to be all right. But all of a sudden, somebody shows up in hell. You're going to have to study your Bible to get all this. He shows up in hell. He defeats the devil, takes the keys to death, hell, and the grave, and goes back to the tomb. They roll it away, the stone, and he marches out victorious over death, hell, and the grave. The grave couldn't hold him. Hell couldn't hold him. The devils couldn't hold him. Life couldn't hold him. He was God, and he walked out victorious over death, hell, and the grave that day. Now, because of the resurrection, there is some things. Because of the resurrection, stay with me this morning. Number one, there was an ascending. There was an ascending. Can we fast forward 40 days after the resurrection? 40 days after the resurrection, we'll find ourselves in Acts chapter number 1. You don't have to turn with me. I'm going to read you some verses as I go through this morning. But you'll find yourself in Acts chapter number 1 and verse number 9. The Bible said this: "And when he had spoken these things, while they beheld, he was taken up, and a cloud received him out of their sight. You see, Jesus now has ascended back into the heavens. Now, you may say, why did he go back? Well, I'm going to give you a few things here in just a minute. But it was all part of God's plan. You see, let me just fast forward to the end of the message, and then I'll preach it when I get there. But the only way he could ever come back is if he went back. Are you with me? The only way he could ever come back and take us home to him is if he went back. There was an ascension that took place. Listen to what the Bible said in Hebrews chapter number 12, verse number 2. Looking unto Jesus, the author and finisher of our faith, who for the joy that was set before him endured the cross, despising the shame. Watch this. And is set down at the right hand of God. He is set down at the right hand of God. Here's my question to you. What's he doing sitting there? That's the reason he went back. He ascended back into the heavens to sit down, watch this, on the right hand of God. On the right hand of God. You see, whenever I know that's my left, but y'all all, that's your right, okay? So nobody correct. I seen two or three of y'all look at me like he done all got all mixed up this morning. I don't know what he drunk in his car. I know that's my left. It's your right, though, okay? On the right hand. Wait a minute. Here we go, on the right hand. They'll get all mixed up. Right is a symbol of power. The right hand of God is a symbol of power. Watch this. The Bible said this, looking unto Jesus, the author and finisher. In other words, for the work to be done, he authored salvation, but he finished salvation. He authored the crucifixion, but he finished the crucifixion. Amen. So what's he doing sitting there? He sat down at the right hand of God. But why is he sitting there? Can I say this? Because of the resurrection, there was an ascending. And because of an ascending, Jesus is sitting at the right hand of God. Well, why is he sitting there? Well, you want me to tell you? Here's a couple of things. What's he doing sitting there? I would say this to you this morning. He's making intercession for the saints. Amen. He's making intercession for the saints. What did the Bible say? 1 Timothy chapter 2, verse number 5. There is one God and one mediator between God and man. Listen to this. The man of Christ Jesus. Thank God for the resurrection. And because of the resurrection, he ascended into the heavens. And because he ascended, there's somebody in heaven today that's praying for me. Remember what he told Peter? He talks to him about Simon, Simon, Satan hath desired to have you, that he may sift you as wheat. But watch this. He said, but I have prayed for you. Hear me and hear me well today. I'm glad that we've got a Father today that's seated at the right hand of God that's making intercession on our behalf. What's he doing sitting there? He's making intercession for the saints. Can I say this? What's he doing sitting there? He's intercepting Satan. This is good one right here. I mean, it's the one we all ought to holler amen on. He's intercepting Satan. You remember the story of Job, don't you? Remember the story? Job's going about his everyday life. And watch this. Satan comes to give an account to God. And when he gets there, God says to Satan, hast thou considered my servant Job? You see, God and Satan had an interaction or a conversation that day. What does Jesus do for us? Here's what Jesus does. According to the Bible, he is the accuser of the brethren before God. And when Satan goes to God and says, well, what about old Stan Newman? Don't you know how wicked he is? Don't you know how vile he is? Don't you know he deserves to die and go to hell? God looks over at the Son and says, you know anything about Stan? And the Son looks in the record book, hallelujah, and he says, yes, sir, his name's written down right here. There was a day he asked me to be Lord of his life and save him. So Satan, you can't do nothing with him. Satan, you can't mess with him. That's one of mine. He intercepts Satan on our behalf. You know what? I got to move. But it would probably scare us to know just how much spiritual warfare there really is. How many times Satan has come to destroy our life, Brother Josh, and the Son stepped in. Oh, yes. I was reading last night. And I was reading about Operation, some of y'all won't remember this. I was reading about Operation Desert Storm. Does anybody remember the early 90s, Operation Desert Storm? Matter of fact, was anybody served during that time that's here this morning? I don't know if it would be or not. Anybody from the Civil War? Thought Brother Ramsey might raise his hand. Watch this. I got to reading on it, Brother Jim. And I remember as a little boy, my daddy still to this day has a bad addiction. It's called the news. And I've told him, I don't know how many times, hey, if you just turn that mess off. He sent me an article last night, that and that I sent you, and I thought, why did you even send that to me? Man, I was having a good time studying. And then he sent me this article of our crazy president trying to ruin Easter. I'm going to get off of that, but I'm going to say this. He's probably been turned over to a reprobate mind. I'm just going to keep moving. You say, that offended me. Well, I'm not sorry. I'm telling you, God help us when he would make a mockery out of the resurrection of the Lord Jesus Christ. I'm all for winning sinners and loving people, but watch this. I was a little boy in the 1900s, and I was watching the news. And they would say a scud had been launched towards our country or launched towards our troops. And then this is what they'd say. We've got good news. America has launched a Patriot missile towards that scud. And they would even show it sometimes on the news. There would be this scud coming to destroy us, but this Patriot missile was launched to intercept it. And they would intercept and it'd go. I really think all that was the rifleman shooting towards it, and he took care of it. But anyway, watch this. You just had to be here last Sunday. Watch this. There's times that Satan comes at us to destroy us. But boy, aren't you thankful that because of the resurrection, Jesus ascended back into the heavens and he sat down at the Father's right hand and he's not only praying for me, but thank God he's intercepting Satan for me. Watch this. What's he doing sitting there? He's making intercession for the saints. He's intercepting Satan. But can I say this? He's inviting sinners. What's he doing sitting there? Here's what he's doing. Come now, let us reason together, saith the Lord. Though your sins be as scarlet, they shall be white as snow. Though they be red like crimson, they shall be as wool. He's inviting the sinner. You see, because of the resurrection, there was an ascending. But also because of the resurrection, number two, there was a descending. There was a, listen to your Bible, John chapter number 16, verse number 7. Nevertheless, I tell you the truth, it is expedient that I go away. For if I go not away, listen, the Comforter will not come unto you. But if I depart, I will send him unto you. If you go to John chapter number 14 and look in verse number 26, we find that the Comforter is the Holy Spirit of God, or it is the Holy Ghost. Don't let those words scare you. It's Bible terms today. Thank God for the Holy Ghost. Thank God for the Holy Spirit today. And the reason that we have the Holy Spirit amongst us today is because one third and glorious morning He resurrected, then He ascended, and because of that now the descending of the Holy Ghost came. You say, well, what is the Holy Ghost? Well, can I say this? He came to indwell. He came to indwell. Can I just say it this way? Let's go back to the Old Testament dispensation. He dwelt in a building. The only individual that was able to get in the glory, if you want to say it that way, was that great high priest. But let's fast forward now to Calvary. When Jesus said it is finished and gave up the ghost, something happened in the tabernacle. You see, there was the holies of... I'm about to shout. There was the holies of... I'm trying to be dignified and it ain't working. There was the holies of holies, Brother Scotty. Well, that high priest was able to go in to the Shekinah glory of God, and he was the only one. Oh, but that day on Calvary, when he said it is finished, something happened at the tabernacle. And here's what happened. That veil that separated man from the presence of God, according to the Word of God, it was rent from top to bottom. Matter of fact, studies say that you could take three teams of oxen, and put on either side. So six different teams of oxen. And you could not pull that veil apart. That's how strong it was. Oh, but that day, something more great and something more powerful than an oxen got a hold of it. God reached down from heaven and got a hold of the top of that veil and rent it from top to bottom. And because of that, oh yes, hallelujah, I now have access into the holies of holies. I now get to walk with Him and talk with Him. He no longer indwells in a building, but He indwells in the believer. Thank God. Oh yes, He indwells in us. You ever had those times where you jump? Matter of fact, I was talking to Brother Heath yesterday. He came back and he heard they was having candy and showed up for the Easter egg hunt. That's a good youth pastor, isn't it? He comes back whenever they got food. But watch this. They asked him to come back and speak yesterday at the Easter celebration. And I was talking to him, and he was talking about an individual in his church. Now, I believe this individual saved. I know him well. I believe he's saved. He's been through a very low time in his life and a time of depression. And Brother Heath got to preaching on that. And here's what he told me. He said, I was listening to that. He said, I had the gun in my hand fixing to end my life, but the Lord spoke to me. Let me tell you what it was. It was the indwelling of the Holy Spirit of God. At those low moments in our life when we think nobody else cares, oh, aren't you thankful somebody comes along our side? Amen. That is indwelling in us. Oh, the descending of the Holy Spirit. He sent to indwell. John said it in chapter 14. Even the Spirit of truth, whom the world cannot receive because it seeth him not, neither knoweth him. But ye know him, for he dwelleth with you. That descending brought an indwelling. But that Holy Spirit instructs. Listen to what he said in chapter 14, verse number 26. He shall teach you all things. Now, let me ask you a question. The youth church is up here today, aren't they? I ain't got to worry about getting out because of the kids sitting over there, Brother Aaron and Brother Josh pulling their hair out. I preached 2 hours. I just thought about that. I shouldn't even wear my watch today. Y'all that's visiting, I don't think. But some of y'all got that, I don't think. But watch this. He sent to instruct. So preacher have been preaching. And some will say it like this. Well, he's one of them rough preachers. He preaches against things. Well, if it's sin, preach on. Amen. You might preach it tighter than I live it, but you won't preach it tighter than I like it. Preach on. You know what people do? They bow up. Son, you can watch it while you're preaching all of a sudden. You can see their body language change. You ever been there, Brother Ramsey? And whenever you see it, you're like, do I look at that, double clutch it, and hit another gear and just plow on? Oh, are you with me? That's not the preacher. Let me tell you what that was inside of you. That was the Holy Ghost. That was saying what he's saying is right. And hear me and hear me well. If he's in the book, amen, the Holy Spirit will instruct you. He will instruct you. And if he's not in the book, go somewhere where he is in the book. And let me just chase another rabbit, and then I'll give you this last thing. I wouldn't get out of the bed to listen to a so-called preacher that's nothing but a heretic that said he wasn't going to mention the blood of Jesus today in his church. Go somewhere where the Holy Spirit's going to indwell in you, but instruct you. Why was he sent? To inspire. What did he say in chapter 14, verse number 26? And bring all things to your remembrance. That's what the Holy Spirit did. Hey, because of the resurrection, there was an ascending. Because of the ascending, there was a descending. But can I say this in closing today? Because of the resurrection, there will be a returning. There will be a return. Now, I preached all morning to get right here. There will be a returning. I got up this morning early and nobody was after me. I got up before daylight this morning and I walked outside and I whistled, Poe, you wanna go to church? And she come running around the corner. My dog's saved, man. She loves going to church. She come running around the corner. I know a lot of y'all that stop by the house think she's demon possessed. She's just a good judge of character, Brother Rodney. I took her collar off. She walked her line and she stopped and sat down. I picked her up, set her across the line. She took off. And I said, Poe, let's go for a run this morning. So we took off and we ran a while this morning. Wasn't nobody after me. That's what everybody said. Somebody, no, there wasn't nobody after me. I was doing it just because I wanted to. I went for a run this morning. And as I was running, I came by the front of the church right here. Coming back in. And here's exactly what I began to think about. The primitives breaking out to singing. He didn't stay dead and he won't stay gone. That ain't helping some of y'all. He didn't stay dead and he won't stay gone. Can I just tell you something? Jesus is coming. And the reason Jesus is coming back is because he resurrected 1/3 in glorious morning. And 40 days later, he ascended into the heavens. And here's what he said. He said, boys, until I get back, I'm going to give you somebody to help you. And a descending of the Holy Ghost came down. And the Holy Ghost will be here until. You want to go with me? 1 Thessalonians chapter number 4. And this is where we'll close. 1 Thessalonians chapter number 4. Listen to what the Bible said. I'm going to start reading when I get there in verse 13.
I could quote it, but let me read it just in case I say something wrong. But I would not have you to be ignorant, brethren, concerning them which are asleep, that you sorrow not even as others which have no hope. For if we believe that Jesus died and rose again, and can I just say this? He did. Whether you believe it or you don't, He did. You say, well, preacher, I just don't know about that part of the Bible. It's not up for discussion. He died. Thank God He rose again. Look what He said. Even so, them also which sleep in Jesus will God bring with them. For this we say unto you by the word of the Lord. That's what matters. Not my word. Not the singer's word. Somebody say amen. Not the Sunday school. It matters what the word of the Lord is. This we say unto you by the word of the Lord, that we which are alive and remain unto the coming of the Lord shall not prevent them which are asleep. For the Lord Himself shall descend from heaven with a shout, with the voice of the archangel, and with the trump of God, and the dead in Christ shall rise first. Then we which are alive and remain shall be caught up together with them in the clouds to meet the Lord in the air, and so shall we ever be with the Lord. Watch this. Wherefore, comfort. That is our comfort. Wherefore, comfort one another with these words. What is our comfort today? Here's our comfort. There's going to be a returning. The comfort is this. He didn't stay dead and He won't stay gone. The comfort is this. Jesus is coming back. Well, can I say that again? Are y'all asleep? Jesus is coming back. He really is coming. You say, preacher, do you really think that Bible's true? No, I know it is. You say, how do you know it is? Just read it. Look at our country today. Look at the mess of our nation today. It's all right here. As it was. Here's the way the old timers would say it. As it was in the days of Noah. It's what Paul Barker would say. As it was in the days of Noah. He didn't call him Noah. He called him Noe. As it was in the days of Noah, so shall it be. I'm not quoting it verbatim. When the Lord comes back. Honey, look around. They was eating and drinking and giving in marriage. Look at what's going on in our country today. Look at what's happened to Israel today. And I'm just going to tell you, I'm trying to be nice this morning. But I'm going to tell you, Brother Matt, if we don't start standing with Israel again, God will judge America. You mark that down. You better remember that in November. Amen. You better remember that. When the president curses the prime minister of Israel, we got a problem in America. I tell you, the only reason God's been as gracious to America as He has is because we used to have a president that stood with Israel. I'm just giving you a Bible this morning. Hadn't got nothing to do with politics. They ought to be a separation of church and state. You're right. And if you'll go study that out, that separation was keep the state out of the church. Amen. Well, I guess I need to teach some history this morning. I'm telling you something. I'm telling you. The reason God's blessed America is because we've stood with Israel and we've had a good relationship with Israel up till recently. And when you look at everything that's happening in our country today and you read the Word of God, son, I'm telling you, at any given moment, Brother Ramsey, I believe we're so close to the coming of the Lord that He could come before we get done with this service today. Thank God He's coming. Can I tell you what's going to happen when He comes? Can I say this? There'll be a resurrection. There'll be a resurrection. You say, well, preacher, we're celebrating. No, there's going to be another resurrection. It ain't going to be Him. Here's what the Bible said. The dead in Christ shall rise first. There'll be a resurrection. I want you to hear me and hear me well. Those of your loved ones that outrun you in this race, if they've been saved by the grace of God, they've not been placed up there in a cemetery or wherever they may be to stay. Thank God when Jesus comes back, there'll be a resurrection. the dead in Christ shall rise first. You've heard me say this before. I read a guy and he said, here's the reason the dead in Christ rise first, because they got 6 foot further to go than the rest of us. Some of y'all will get that while you're eating lunch today. There'll be a resurrection. When he comes, there'll be a resurrection. Watch this. Number two, there'll be a rescue. There'll be a rescue. I thought about this. I thought about, Brother Mac, whenever you call for rescue, it's because somebody's in trouble. Are you with me? Brother Aaron, in your job, you do it all the time. You call for rescue, it's because somebody's in trouble. Time out, we in trouble. We in trouble. I'm telling you, we in trouble. You mark my word. I ain't no prophet or son of a prophet, but I do know the Bible, and if something don't happen in America and we don't turn back to God, we in trouble. But I've got real good news. He didn't stay dead, and he won't stay gone. And when he comes back, there'll be a resurrection of those that's dead that knows the Lord. Oh, but thank God there'll be a rescue, because he said this, then we which are alive and remain shall be called up. Thank God this world is not my home. I'm just a passing through. My treasures are laid up somewhere beyond the blue. This is not all I have to look forward to. This is not all I have going for me. Thank God Jesus is coming and I'm going. Oh yes, we'll be called out of here. Can I say this? In his returning, there'll be a resurrection. There'll be a rescue. But can I say this? What did the Bible say? It said that we which are alive and remain should be caught up together with them in the clouds to meet the Lord in the air. And so shall we ever be with the Lord. Can I say this? There'll be a reunion. There'll be a reunion. There'll be... you care to start playing softly wherever you're at, there you are. There'll be a reunion. A reunion. Can you just imagine? Somebody said this one time, said, I can't wait to see my family when I get to heaven. The only thing about that is we're going to be caught up together in the clouds. Might get a glimpse of them before I get there. Amen. Might just get a glimpse. Just giving you the Bible. Might get a glimpse of them before I get there. But if I don't, I made mention of my Pa Barker a while ago. I was running early this morning. I got to thinking about him. Pa, he'd say this, why don't you go to 2 Little John? Preach out of 2 John. He called it 1 Little John, 2 Little John, and 3 Little John. Somebody got saved, he'd say something like this. They got born again. Y'all understand what I'm talking about. Some of you that's raised in this, and Jacob, I know you never really knew him much, but that's what he'd say. He'd say they got born again. I got to thinking about him. Oh, you don't know, it's Jacob's my cousin. And we come out of real good stock, if you want to put it that way. Our grandpa Barker was an old-time leather lung. Didn't know much about outlining. Didn't know much about alliteration. But he knew a whole lot about the Holy Ghost. And he knew a whole lot about praying and walking in fellowship with God. I got to think about these sunrise services. First time we've not had a sunrise service in a long time. Got to thinking about Pa talking about them. I got to think about hearing Pa preach. I'll just be real honest with you. I got a little sad for a few minutes, but then I got real glad. Let me tell you the reason why I see him again one day. My Granny Barker, she's real quiet. She's kind of like me. She's real quiet, real backward and shy. Granny was to walk in, she'd sit down and service somewhere, and you never even know Granny was there. You never even know she's there. But if a Holy Ghost showed up, she's one of them old-time shouting women. She'd throw whatever was in her hands. I'm telling you, when the glory fell, I didn't see her shout but twice in my life before she died. But I'll never forget, one night we was in camp meeting at Turner's Creek. And son, I'm telling you, she come slam unglued. And another time we was in camp meeting at Northwood right before she died. Boy, she cut loose to shouting. You say, did it scare you? No, it tickled me to death. I knew what she's shouting about. I sure am glad that I'll get to see her again one day. I sure am glad that we'll get to lock arms on the streets of gold one day in heaven. There'll be a reunion, but not only with our family, but can I say this? There's going to be one that since July the 20th, 1994, I've been looking at through the eye of faith. Say, you ever saw God? No. How you know He's real? Because you talked to Him. Said He talked back? Yep. In an audible voice? Louder. Some of y'all, you ain't got a clue what I'm talking about. Remember Charles talking one time about praying out in at a tree beside his house. He said, preacher, it's like he's there. It's like he's there. Tell you what it is. That's the indwelling the Holy Spirit. And now since 1994, Brother Gray, I've been viewing Him through the eye of faith. But you want to talk about a reunion one day. So when we step off on streets of gold, around the throne of God, and see those angels with eyes within and eyes without that's flying around the throne of God. And the only thing they can say is, holy, 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 holy is the Lord God Almighty, which was, which is, and is to come. They said, He's always been holy, He is holy, and He always will be holy. One day I will behold Him. One day I will see Him. One day I will lay my eyes on the nail prints in His hands and in His feet. Yes, I'll see Him. There'll be a reunion. Now I want to ask you this, and we're going home. Thank God for the resurrection. There was an ascending, a descending, and there'll be a returning. Thank God He's coming. The Lord Himself. The Lord Himself. Some people says this, boy, I'm excited that the archangel's coming back to get me. He ain't coming to get me. The Bible told me the Lord. The Lord Himself with a shout and the voice of an archangel. The Lord's coming. Amen. Let me ask you this. I'm sure that you're sitting here this morning and somebody who's probably close to you and your family or close friends outrun you in this race. They've already made it to the other side and they had a testimony of being saved, and because of that, they're in heaven today if they trusted the Lord. I want to ask you a question. Are you going to have a reunion with them? Are you going to see them in heaven one day? If not, I've got real good news. The reason Jesus came was to draw sinners to Him. And there's a God that loves you and a God that'll save you today. And a God that'll change your life. And a God that will allow you to have a reunion with Him and them one day, if you'll but accept Him. Father, as we stand with our heads bowed and our eyes closed this morning, Lord, You know the need of the service today. And I pray that Thy divine will would be done. Our heads are bowed, our eyes are closed. Nobody's looking around this morning. I wonder if maybe there would be one slip your hand up and say, hey, preacher, if I was to die today, I'm not sure I'm saved. Preacher, I don't know that I'd go to heaven. Preacher, would you pray for me? One anywhere, I see that hand. Somebody else, preacher, would you pray for me? Preacher, would you pray for me? I'm going to say this to you, if you raised your hand or even if you didn't. I know I've already said this, but let me echo it. There's a God that loves you today. And if you ever have the hope of a reunion with Him, and family members that's saved, that's already went home to be with the Lord, you'll have to come His way. There's no other way. You'll have to come by the way of the cross.